Thank those that have participated thus far in the prayers that was made on behalf of all. Also, for the one that read scripture reading on this afternoon. And again, thank our brother for leading us again this afternoon so eloquently in our songs of praise to God. I want to thank you, those that are on the call this afternoon, those that obviously are those are members of the Highland Heights congregation, and then those that may be worshiping with us via technology that are members of the church, and more importantly, those that may be on the call this afternoon that may not be members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that we do not want you to spend another day outside of the Church of Christ, outside of Christ. And so we'll share with you at the close of the message those things that we find in the scriptures that one must do, seeing what God has done for us in through his son, Jesus Christ, that one can become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. And I hope that this study, we're in Habakkuk chapter number 3, on this afternoon, and I hope that this study for you has been as motivating and as encouraging to you as it has been for me as we went back and read the book of Habakkuk. And again, just to summarize the two previous lessons to get to lesson number 3 of this book. Again, the difference between Habakkuk and other prophets were, in most cases, God would share with the prophet what the prophet were to share with the people. But however, in this case, what Habakkuk did, and we looked at the lesson number 1 was the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. So what Habakkuk did was took the burdens of the people, and he complained to God about the burden. And again, we want to make this message apply to us in the year and the time in which we're living, the year 2020. We know that we define a burden as something that one has to accept or carry that is difficult to deal with. So again, Habakkuk saw the burden of the people. Again, that could be something in your life that you're having to accept, something that that you're having to carry that is difficult for you to deal with, and it is something of a load that wears on you. And so it has a draining effect. That's what a burden does. It drains you. And so Habakkuk went to God about this, and so we talked about how God told him in verse 5 of Habakkuk 1 that I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it was told you. So God shared with them how he knew from verse number 6 of Habakkuk 1 that he had raised up the Chaldeans and Nebuchadnezzar, and how they were dreadful and terrible people, how they treated them, a bitter and hasty nation. So God realizes when you are a child of God and you're going through stuff, God is aware of what you're going through. God sometimes allows us to go through things. And so we found that being in lesson number 1, the burden that Habakkuk did see. And so we looked at on last week the fact that what Habakkuk did, and we looked at it in Habakkuk 2, in verse number 2, where we titled that subject, where God, in speaking to Habakkuk, said, write the vision and make it plain. And so what Habakkuk did was shared what God's word was to the people of that time. God knows that we're going through. And Habakkuk said that I will stand upon my watch I was set up upon the tower, verse number 1 of Habakkuk 2. And he said, I was watching to see what God would say to me, how God would answer me, and then I will respond to you. And so we find from that text that we know that we're going through stuff. What is our response to when we go through stuff? The answer was found in verse number 4 of Habakkuk when God had answered him. And God said to Habakkuk in verse number 4, but the just shall live by faith. And we talked about that on last week from the text back in Hebrews chapter 10, how God, in that same text where he told them that the just shall live by faith, he also, and that was Hebrews 10 and verse number 38, but in 35 of Hebrews 10, he talked about cast not away, therefore, your confidence. In other words, the trust and belief that you have in God, don't throw it away. Why? Because the Hebrew writer says it has great recompense, a great payment of reward. In other words, your faith, you will be able to cash in. It will get you through. It will see you through. And do not ever allow yourself to lose your faith or your trust in God. And the Hebrew writer said again, you have need of patience. You know, we talked about that's our subject for the month. Those of us at the Highland Heights, we've been studying about patience. And patience is that characteristic that does not give up to circumstances that test one's faith. So we realize that the just have to live by faith. We're not going to give up. We're going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Even though our faith may be tested, we will hold on and not give up. And so the just, we find to live by faith because God said in verse number 38 that if a person draw back, God said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God is not pleased with one that gives up his faith and do not trust in him. That is one that has a spirit of unbelief. But we are those that are one that are trusting in God. And so on this afternoon, lesson number 3 of this text. So again, one, we have a burden that all have in the time in which we live. And secondly, we understand that the just shall live by faith. And then we get to our lesson number 3, where the writer of Hebrew, Habakkuk, says in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 3, is entitled A Prayer of Habakkuk the Prophet. A Prayer of Habakkuk the Prophet. And so we see here that I want us to see that first you had the burden, then the command from God was, those that are just, those that are righteous, you simply live by faith, trust in the Lord. And then the third lesson, Habakkuk says, there must be a prayer. And so verses 1 and 2, we'll read and we'll summarize Habakkuk chapter 3, and then we'll get allowed to speak to us as Christians today. So the Bible says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Chenagona. And so Habakkuk had a prayer. And he said in verse number 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive, he says, thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, he said, make known. And notice what he says. And in wrath, remember mercy. So Habakkuk says that when he begins his prayer, that prayer begins with a request for mercy. Yeah. When we go to God in prayer, we want mercy from God. And Habakkuk teaches us that That's what he did for the people. When God responded to them and shared with them what would transpire, and God said, make it plain, Rebekah prayed to God, and he asked God, he said, remember to have mercy. And so from that, we find verse number 3, he said, God came to Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, he says, Selah, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full, of his praise. So now what Rebekah does is begin to praise God for God's past deliverances of his people. You know, sometimes we've gone through some things, and God has seen us through those things. And sometimes it's good to just stop a moment and thank God for how God saw us through, how when those of us, your children were born, and how times was hard and things were difficult and money was low, how God saw you through, how God put food on the table, how God allowed you to get through the various trials and tribulations. And so what Rebekah does here is simply go back and think about how God had delivered them from their past experiences, the past difficulties that they had. He said, notice he says in verse 5, before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. So he talked about how God had delivered them. God had delivered them. And so again, as we look at this lesson, allow this to apply to you. Apply to you in the burdens you have. Apply to you when God responds to you and tell you simply live by faith, live by what you find in the Word of God, and then always have a heart that you want to pray to God. And then, so that's what Rebekah does. But then I want us to pick up in verse number 16 of Rebekah, after he talks about how God had allowed the things to happen to them. But then in verse number 16, of Rebekah 3. Rebekah says, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. He says, rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest, he says, in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. So Rebekah says, I know what's coming. And he said, that when that comes, may I be able to rest in those days of trouble. And hopefully right now you're able to find some rest. Brother Brooks said about it this morning about the people of God having rest in Hebrews chapter 4, that rest that we can find even in the midst of difficulties. And then he says in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. He says, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. So what Rebekah is saying, when all that stuff starts failing, when fig trees won't do what they're supposed to do, when fruit won't come on the vine, when the olive fail, when the fields don't produce no food, he says, when the flock are cut off from the fold, he says, and there shall be no herd in the stall. When all of that happens, Rebekah said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I would have joy. I would joy, excuse me, in the God of my salvation. We remember that we said on last week that the just shall live by faith, but we also understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul, when he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If we base our life simply on things that we see, we'll give up. A horse can quit. Habakkuk said, "I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." And then notice what he says. Watch faith here in verse 19. He says, "The Lord God is my strength." Notice now, my strength is not in me. My strength is in God. He says, "And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my string instrument." So what Habakkuk was saying here, Habakkuk was reminding of those that have seen a deer, and their hind feet of a deer was sure-footed. And what it did sometimes, if you ever go and look sometimes, you'll find deers walking up mountains that are basically straight up in the air. And those deer's feet are able to climb mountains that are impossible for other animals to climb. But because of the fact their feet, their hind feet are sure-footed, they're able to climb those mountains. And so what Habakkuk was saying to those of us as he closes this letter was that those of us that are God's people, you need to realize even though you're climbing a mountain that seems straight up in the air, it doesn't appear that I can scale this mountain. Others won't be able to do it, but I realize that I can do it. With the help of God, my strength comes from God, and I'm going to scale that mountain. I'm going to be able to deal with the present time that I have. Ties may be tight. I know jobs may be scarce. I know money may be scarce. I know situations may be difficult. But I realize what Habakkuk was saying, that he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Now I got feet like a deer. My feet are now sure. And he said he will make me to walk upon my high places. All of us in life, we got high places that we need to climb. Sometimes, young people, your high places may be getting that education, getting that piece of paper, getting that degree. But God will give you high feet that you can get that education. I know going to college and being by yourself, being in a dorm where you don't have others with you, God will give you hind feet. God will give you, allow your mind to settle. Allow you to not, as the Bible says, you'll find rest. You'll learn how to study as you need to. You'll learn how to prioritize life. Young people that are starting marriages and careers, God will give you hind feet. You have to learn now that I once was independent. Now, but I don't want to be codependent. I learned from the Word of God what to be interdependent. We have to learn now to trust in one another. You know, we have to learn now that we both have to give. As a song once said, I'm not talking about an 80-20. I'm not talking about a 60-40. Your love has to be 50-50. That makes 100. So those that are young people that are married, God will give you hind feet. God will see you through. You simply have to trust in God, and now you have to learn how to compromise with one another. You have to speak to one another. You have to help one another. You have to be, as the Bible says, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, talking about young people that are married now. Now, what do I do in this situation? Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 7 and 5, he said, now defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So what you do is you come together. You agree on things. He said, when he said consent for a time, you sit down and you problem solve together. You use the word of God to help you problem solve your marriage. You use the word of God to help you understand how do we deal with our monetary issues first. Well, we understand God's principle is that we first give to the Lord. We take care of the things that we have to, but we always have money to give to those that are less fortunate than us. So you learn, you walk by faith. We learn to live by the word of God. And then if I am a middle-aged person, we call it our ma'am's ministry. How do I live? I live by faith. God will give me hind feet. God would allow me to finish up these years and get into retirement. God is the one that would do that for me. I just got to trust in God. God is the one that keeps me healthy. God is the one that allows me to go to work and to put in those days and not only just go to work, but go to work with the right attitude. When I go to work, I understand when I go on that job, I'm working for the Lord and not for the man. Because if I base how I behave on the job on how they treat me, I may never do as I'm supposed to do. But I understand that I work for the Lord, and I don't work for man. You know, Peter had to tell us that in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm talking about the attitude that we have when we are on our jobs. He talks about in 1 Peter 2:18, he says, servants, he says, be subject to your masters with all fear. Notice he said, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. So when I go to work, I understand now we can have a good and gentle boss, but we can also get some bosses that are unreasonable. But he said, what's my attitude when I go to work? He said, but this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So he said, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable or pleasing to God. So God teaches us how we are to carry ourselves. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then if I'm one of our seniors, one of our elderly, I understand now all my trust is in the Lord, because I'm getting at a point now that my health may begin to fail me. I understand that I have to lean on the Lord and pray to God as Rebecca did about situations, circumstances. I just know now it seems like the hill now is getting more difficult to climb. There was a time when I had sure feet when I was younger, but now it seems like they are almost slipping. But understand, you still got hind feet. God is the one that's going to give you the strength that you need when you hit that four score. We were talking the other day, Brother Teamer had reached four score and two. When you hit those 80s, when you hit those upper years, That's when what Habakkuk said becomes real in your life. You begin to trust in the Lord, and God will give you those hind feet that would allow you to scale those health problems, those financial challenges. God is the one that's going to see you through. But as Habakkuk said, I got to pray to God. I got to pray to God. And so to the Christian, what do I do? What do I do as a Christian? What do I do as a Christian? Habakkuk said to pray. So let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at what is the prayer of the Christian today. Again, we said we want to make this where we understand that the principle that Habakkuk gives us, but we always have to make it applicable to those of us during the time in which we live. And so a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. And so I want to speak for the few moments I have left about what is the prayer of the Christian today. I think Paul in his writing to Timothy in his letter, he began what we call chapter 2 and verse number 1. Note what he says. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So first, Paul said, what is the prayer of the Christian living today? Paul said, I want to urge you, Timothy, that first of all, supplications, which is a type of prayer, prayers, intercessions, which is a type of prayer, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So Paul says to Timothy, supplications, and if you're taking notes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, supplications come from the word supply. And so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, Paul said to the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what's the prayer of the Christian today? When you have need, that's a prayer of supplication. You're asking God to supply you with something. If you're needing a job, God knows you need it. Paul said that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by who? By Christ Jesus. So a prayer of supplication is a prayer of need that we make to God when we are in need. We do it, he said, for other men, for all men. And then you have a prayer is simply an asking for something, a request that is made. That is a prayer, and that's in Philippians 4 and 6, where Paul said, let your request be made known unto God. That is a prayer, simply a request that we made known to God. We're asking for something. And then he talks about intercessions. One example I find in the Old Testament, in Job chapter number 42. In Job 42, you find what I can share is an intercessory prayer. When you pray for a favor for another person, notice in Job 42 and verse 10, the Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When? He prayed for his friend. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So an intercessory prayer is a prayer of intercession, a prayer that is made for favor for another person. We do this all the time when we get on our conference calls and we get on the phone and we get on, as we've been doing now, and we ask for prayers for other people. You know, I want to pray on the behalf of Brother Hill that his surgery went well. I want to pray for him in his recovery. I want to make that an intercessory prayer. I'm asking God to show Brother Hill some favor in his situation. That's an intercessory prayer. And we also pray, I think, Brother Tim mentioned this morning or was mentioned how we pray for those that are in bereavement. That's an intercessory prayer. We're asking God to show them some favor, to comfort their heart in the loss of a loved one. That's an intercessory prayer. And then he says, giving of thanks that it be made for all men. We have to learn to pray for others. And you notice in Job 42 and 10, God doubled back what Job had when Job prayed for other people. Sometimes God blesses us when we pray for other people. That's the example I see in that text. So again, intercessory prayers, prayers on behalf of others. And then when we pray to God, sometimes it's good to just stop where you're at and just give God some thanks. Yeah, just give God some thanks for what God has done in your life. Sometimes, you know, I've learned that giving of thanks, and that's in those that are taking notes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes we have to learn to thank God that things not as bad as they could have been. Yeah, I may have injured myself, but it's not as bad as it could have been. One could have been in a car accident, and it's not as bad as it could have been. I may have gotten an illness, and it's not as bad as it could have been. So that's a giving of thanks for things being as well as they are. And sometimes we can just thank God for the type of children God has given us, the type of heart that they have as they listen. Sometimes just thanking God for them. Yeah, not that they have to do anything great. The fact that they are trying to live as Christians, God, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, dear Lord, for the wife that you've given me. I want to just say thank you, Lord. Could have been worse. Could have been better. I want to thank you for what I have, Lord. I just want you to know that I am appreciative of what you have placed in my hand, what you have given me. That's the giving of thanks. And he says, let it be made for all men. Then he says in verse number 2, as I try to wrap this up, he said, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now, they had kings then. We have a president or leaders of countries. Now, he said that, understand this here. Not only do you pray for men, he said, but pray for them that are in authority. Pray for those individuals that have been selected or appointed to various positions. Pray for them. Pray for our mayor, Turner. Pray for our governor. Pray for the president. He said, pray for them that are in authority. Why do I pray for them? Remember I said before, usually when you see the word that, there's an action behind the word that. He said, the reason that you pray for them that are in authority, he said, the reason is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What are you saying, Brother Stiles? The word quiet means free from agitation from the outside, from the world. So we pray to God that, you know, that my neighborhood, my neighbors won't go crazy and start doing stuff, that I can go to bed at night, don't have to worry about my neighbor breaking into my house in no time. I'm free from that agitation in my heart, in my spirit, that stuff from the outside I don't have to worry about. Then he says that it may be peaceable. That's a disturbance that is caused from the inside. So sometimes you can have be disturbed, or your home can lose its peaceableness. You know, when husband and wife are going at each other, when young people just got married and you arguing about stuff that ain't worth a hill of beans. Yeah, you got to have peace on the inside. Yeah. So not only the outside need to be quiet, but the inside need to be peaceable. Yeah. And that's because you're not causing no disturbance on the inside. You know, I'm trying to live peaceably with those that are in my house, not causing disturbance. He said, why? That I can live in all godliness and honesty, or live a life with dignity. So we have to pray for our leaders. Yeah, you got leaders that can, we can go to war tomorrow, depending on what the leader says. So, and then now watch this here, when war breaks out, then if you're not careful, then young people may start going to war. Yeah. So we pray for those that are in authority, that they don't enact laws that will hinder us from living a godly and honest life. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we pray. He said, but this is good, verse 3, and acceptable in the sight of God, I'll say. So what he's saying is that God is pleased when he see us praying intercessory prayer, praying for other people that God will give this person a job that's out of job. Sometimes, remember, say, pray for me that I get this job. Well, we pray that God will give them what they need. God, the Bible says that this is pleasing to God. And then he says, verse 4, as I go to a halt, he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice now, I talked about this in my lesson in our gospel series, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we talked about God has various wills, and God has a permissive will. God allows things. God's will, according to verse number 4, is that all men be saved. But men, that's conditional. That's based on men are coming into the knowledge of the truth and obeying what God has said. He said, but there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus. So that lets me know that Catholicism is not biblical, because the only man between God and man is Christ Jesus. It's not no pope that man has instituted in that the larger religious body in the world, and they don't have truth, because Christ is the mediator between man and God. That man is Jesus Christ. And so he says here, what, as I close now, God want everybody saved. Why did God want everybody saved? Because verse number 6 tells us he gave himself, talking about Christ, a ransom or a payment for all to be testified in due time. So God loves you enough. You're on the call tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, God wants you to be saved. I just read that to you in verse number 4. God would have you to be saved. But you got to come into the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is, in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, there is something called the gospel. And that gospel is that message, that three factual message, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried in a tomb, he rose again the third day. That's the fact of the gospel. You must imitate that in that you die for sin. You hear the gospel, which I just shared to you. You believe what I share. You repent of your sins. You make the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, according to Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, you are water baptized for the remission of your sin. Your old man in the sins die, and it must be buried. They're buried with Christ. He died for sin. You die to sin. We bury you, but this burial is in water. We completely cover you up with water. We bury you, and then when you rise up, You rise up in the newness of life, and the Lord adds you to the church according to Acts 2:47. And so if there's one today that would like to be a Christian, I share with you what you must do. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your patience in listening to a prayer of Rebecca and how a Christian ought to pray today. Thank you very much. I turn it back over to our facilitator. Thanks again.
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?